from New York. Jackie Reed goes inside her story. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, and Jay. I got something for you, Tom and Jay. Listen, most folks believe divorce is a nightmare for all involved, especially the children, but it doesn't have to be. Jay, as you prepare for your next round of matrimony and inevitable divorce, my guest this morning is going to help you make this fifth divorce the charm.
Oh, the fifth.
I'm going inside the story with journalist Wendy Paris, author of Splittopia, Dispatches Litopia. From Today's Good Divorce and How to Part Well. Yes, Splittopia. She currently, Tom, lives three blocks away from her ex-husband, and they have a great co-parenting relationship. So it's all about not only going through, you know, a divorce happily, but having a great relationship post-divorce. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Let me start with this. Hello? Yeah, it's a lot of trials and tribulations with Jay. We might have to hook you up for a special kind of coaching one-on-one thing. It's a special need.
Uncoupling, yes.
Yeah, special needs situation. But Wendy, you've been through a divorce. Did it end well because of the advice in your book, or did you learn about this advice from going through your divorce?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was hand in hand. I was writing this book as I was going through it, and as things would come up that were really difficult for me, I would think, how somebody else is going to have the same experience? What's the best way to do it? So I came up with these seven principles of parting, and then I really tried to follow them as I was going through it.
And your husband was on board for that? I mean, you know, were both of you at the point where you were ready to divorce?
You know, we were. It was mutual, and I think that made it easier for us.
So what are these seven principles? Can you quickly go through them? I know one is commit to self-compassion.
Which is surprising. Commit to self-compassion. Self-compassion is the most important thing, really, in helping you as an individual get through your divorce. You know, not being so judgmental, not feeling like you're the only person in town who's ever had five divorces.
Right. I know. He, you know, Elizabeth Taylor was the only one, and now she's gone. All right, now take ownership of the future and the past, you say.
Yes, take ownership. You really want to feel that you have a sense of agency, that what you do in life has an impact. So if you can see how you were involved in the breakdown of the marriage in some way, even if you didn't want it, that can give you a sense of control, like what I do matters. You know, what I do influences my future, and I'm going to make the future I want.
Okay, don't confuse filing with closure. What does that mean?
A lot of people, you know, the first thing they do is hire a lawyer, and they're angry and they're scared, and I'm going to finish this divorce, I'm going to file. But there's a lot of pieces to divorce, and legal is just one of them. You know, there's emotional, there's the sexual, there's the residential. Mm-hmm. And if you file when you're so angry or so scared, you can wind up in one of these horrible, incredibly expensive divorces because your emotions take over and you're using a lawyer when probably you need a therapist at that point.
Do you only use these principles if there are children involved, or is this whether or not you have children?
It's more important if they're children, but I have definitely met people who don't have kids and are still spending 4, 5, 6 years in these fights with their ex, and their lives are wrapped up in the past, and they can't move forward. So I think it matters in both situations.
Should you have sex with your ex after the divorce?
Did you read my chapter on sex with your ex?
No.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I have a whole thing on, you know, why that is not so uncommon and, you know, the risks of that.
Did you?
Hey, Jay.
She wrote the book.
We asked the question.
We have to vet.
I'm sorry, Wendy.
I did find after he moved out and I wasn't so angry with him anymore. I did have this, he's really cute, which I, you know, had stopped. I certainly wasn't having sex with him before he moved out.
So Tom and Jay, turnabout fair play.
Yeah, can I have sex with your exes?
Yeah, she let me.
No.
I have a serious question, I really do. How do you deal with friends who are going through a divorce, but they're both your friends, you don't want to lose the friends, and they're having a messy divorce? What kind of advice could you give both of them? Because sometimes in the end, you're going to lose one of them as a friend.
First, you buy the book.
Okay, I mean, but is the advice right here, for you, Jay, as their
right
friend?
No, not me. Two friends of mine. The couple, yes.
Yes, but you're trying to decide who
to be friends with.
Yeah, the hardest chapter for me to write in my book was the chapter on friends. It was the hardest thing for me to deal with. It's a huge issue. A lot of times the friends, like you, they don't get advice from the divorcing couple about what to do. And I say to the divorcing couple, you need to really let your friends know what you need from them, because people feel that the friends are going to take sides. People, your friend going through a divorce might be hypersensitive to being left out or excluded. So I think the great thing you can do is say to them, what do you need? How can I help? Invite them out if they seem lonely. You can wind up really lonely. But I think you can also say, because you guys are bad-mouthing each other, it's making it hard for our, you know, for us, for your friends, to remain friends mm-hmm. with both of you. So,
but Wendy, how do you get to a good place if it's a situation where one person, you know, didn't know divorce was coming? You know, let's say, you know, you've been married for 20-something years and your husband decides, you know, he wants to go younger. Or, you know, in Kris Jenner's case, you're married for years and then your husband decides he wants to be transgender. How do you get to a place of friendship or anything amicable after that?
You know, it's hard, and this happens. A lot of people describe divorce as like being shot out of a cannon or being swept up in a tsunami. You know, it's very often not mutual. And not everybody's goal is to be friends. You know, because in our situation, it was mutual and we have a small child. So I would say like a good divorce in a situation like that is really working to get to a stage of getting over your anger and hurt and being able to focus on your own life rather than continually rehashing what happened and being looking backward. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I still think you want to, divorce isn't anyone's plan B, but you can have a really beautiful and plan A, but you can have a really beautiful and meaningful plan B. So the work in that situation is figuring out how you're going to get yourself into your new life.
Does therapy always play a part in divorce, or should it?
You know, not everybody is open to therapy.
Right. Right.
But
nothing wrong with me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful. Some people turn to friends. Some people are, you know, religious and they find help in religion. Some people might find help, you know, in sports or things that are self-soothing, you know, that bring you solace. My big point with therapy, if you have children, it can be really helpful. If this happened to you, you weren't expecting it, you feel like your life is out of control, you're depressed, you're angry, I think therapy can be so helpful. But my big point is, you want to hire the right professional. You don't want to hire a lawyer when you're angry.
Okay. One last question. What's the biggest mistake you made in your divorce?
No, it was perfect. I wasn't expecting my ex-husband to get a girlfriend, like, you know, a couple of months after he moved out.
He did?
Yeah, he did. And I
to
know,
get
I
a girlfriend necessary. Or have already had one and you just
and
found
that
out
was not
about
necessary.
It.
You know? And none of that was necessary.
But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with dating, you know, either you or if your spouse, your ex-spouse, you know, is dating soon after the divorce? How do you deal with that, especially if you have a child so you're still involved in each other's lives?
You know, the thing we did that was good was we, you know, made an agreement not to talk about dating with each other and not to join the same dating sites, although he didn't need to join a dating site because he, you know.
Because he'd already been on it, probably.
It wasn't like that, but it was possible.
Is she younger?
She's a couple years older.
Nah. How's that?
Good, good.
And what about you?
Nah, see what's wrong with this.
Did you get a boyfriend?
No, you know, I'm still single.
And how long?
I didn't ask that. I said, did you get a boyfriend?
I did not get a boyfriend, which I found shocking. I assumed, you know, this will be great. I'll meet someone right away who's better, and I'll just continue with my life. But it's kind of hard to fall in love. You know, it didn't happen.
Girl, you probably wanted a break too. You're probably like, woo.
Lord.
Yeah,
look at Jackie.
No, she didn't date Jay.
She got to go there with that.
So Jay should probably not get married again, right?
The fifth time may not be the charm.
All I know is comedian Gallagher said, no matter when you have a divorce, somebody's pissed. I don't care what they say at the end.
Thank you.
All right, Jackie.
Good job, Jackie.
Good job.
Have a good weekend.